Sunday. Warm Christian greeting to each of you this morning. It's a privilege to be here and a blessing to be here this morning. My heart has been inspired and filled again, and yes, I could have enjoyed just sitting and probably having another 45 minutes of the Sunday school lesson this morning, or maybe even another 45 minutes of our brother's devotions. We bring greetings from the Blue Ridge congregation as well. We think of you often, pray for you sometimes. I'll confess, probably not as often as we should, but our hearts are here. We have many friends here, and I feel like I've learned to know many of you over the years, and it's just a blessing to be here and worship with you again this morning. Brother Steve was sharing the devotions and challenging us about our thirst of God. There are several things that went through my mind. I marvel again at how God puts his service together. We had a real introduction to the message that God has laid on my heart to share with you this morning. Some verses that are very similar, very close to the ones that Brother Steve shared. You may open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. I'd like to preach on verse 6 this morning. Another thought that I thought about as Brother Steve was sharing his thoughts on thirsting was the connection of our Sunday school lesson and to this devotion this morning, and that of faith. There's a connection there as well for us to believe that God has the living waters takes faith. And so the Word of God is connected in so many ways, and I just appreciate that again this morning. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." I like to speak about hungering and thirsting after righteousness this morning. What do you think about when you think about hunger and thirst? One of the first things that comes to my mind is the thought of appetite. That speaks of an appetite, does it not? What do you think about when you think about appetite this morning? I like to think this morning about appetite in the physical way, and I'd like to draw some spiritual conclusions from that this morning, is what I'd like to do. Appetite, we all know what it's like, at least when we feel well, we're well, life is going on as normal, and we know that we have a good appetite. And we fill that appetite, and it happens again and again and again. It's a part of life. Well, that's the way God made us. Appetite is a part of our experience. I'd like to go back in the introduction to the message this morning yet and take you to a story in the Old Testament. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 25. I'd like to introduce to you what happens with people that have an appetite. How much appetite affects a person's life. In Genesis chapter 25 and verse 29, we have this story of two brothers. We know the story of Jacob and Esau. And Esau sold his birthright for an appetite, because of an appetite. This is how strong, this shows us the urge of an appetite. Let's just begin reading in Genesis 25 and verse 29. It tells us, "And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came in from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, 'Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint.' Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, 'Sell me this day thy birthright.' And Esau said, 'Behold, I am at the point to die, And what profit shall this birthright do me? And Jacob said, swear unto me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. We look at this story and we say, how foolish for someone to allow the physical hunger to make him give up. Well, let's just stop and think for a moment what Esau gave up. What was the birthright? As the oldest child of the family, he had the right to a double portion of his father's estate. He had the right, as the eldest son in the family, to somewhat, how should I say, be the one who is kind of over his siblings. If there's some important decision that was to be made, he, as the eldest brother, had kind of the right to say, well, this is how it's going to be. This is how it will be done. And I don't know how far that list of things goes and what all included, but that's not important this morning. I just bring that into focus for you to realize that he gave up some real privileges that were his because of a hunger pain in his stomach. He sold out because of that, we say. Well, I've taken the title for the message this morning from this portion of Scripture, and I've simply put it in a question form. The title to this message really is, what meaneth the birthright? This morning, you and I, there's a sense in which we have two birthrights. I suppose most of us, if not all of us here, were born citizens of this country that we live in, citizens of the United States, and therefore we have, because of our citizenship here, we have some rights. We have some privileges. There are some things that are legally ours. In fact, there are many things that this country wants us to do and participate in and be a part of because we're citizens here. We are citizens of the United States. But this morning, beyond that, we are citizens of a heavenly country, because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. Go with me to Ephesians chapter 2 for a few moments. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1 tells us, and you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. We walked according to the rights and the privileges that our citizenship as a citizen of the United States offers and has for us. And that's just a part of it. This morning, this is alluding to the kingdom of Satan and what he has. But we do believe that the country we live in is largely controlled by the kingdom of Satan. Not totally this morning, but Satan is working in our country this morning. Verse 3 says, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. And he talks about the lust of the flesh and of the mind and what we were by nature. But verse 4 says, but God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sin, and hath quickened us together with Christ, by grace are ye saved, and hath raised us up together and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And he goes on and he talks about the future and things of the future that will be ours because we are citizens of another kingdom this morning. Because of the work of Christ in our hearts, because of what Jesus has done for us. Now, this is all an introduction to the message this morning. I've got a lengthy introduction. But this takes me back to this thought, and I want you to ponder as we go through this message this morning. What meaneth this birthright? How important is this birthright to you? The fact that you are a child of the King, a child of a heavenly citizenship. You have the right to that. We have that. That is our birthright through Jesus this morning, and through responding and repenting and accepting Jesus as Lord in our lives. I'm coming to this message this morning on the basis that I'm talking to people who know the Lord Jesus, who are Christians this morning. And I want to encourage us in our hunger and our thirst after the things of God is what I want to do. Hunger and thirst speaks of appetite. And I think we introduced this thought of appetite enough. We know what appetite is. We saw in the life of Esau what appetite will drive us to, what appetite will make us sell out. You know, God created us in that way, really. The desire for food and water are among the most powerful forces in the human body, in our bodies. God has placed the desire to survive within us, and people will do just about anything. They will give up just about anything to avoid starving to death. Starvation is an awful thing. I've never experienced it. I don't know what it's like. I've seen pictures of people who are starving, and it reminds me of a most cruel death, a very cruel way to die. And so our bodies respond with, yes, just like Esau did. What good's a birthright? I'm about to die, he was telling himself. Well, I don't think Esau really knew what starving was about yet, but those hunger pains were overriding the things that his mind should have been telling him and wasn't apparently at the moment. The second thing I'd like to talk about this morning is that hungering and thirsting are appetites that return frequently. The Bible tells us that Jacob gave Esau of that same red pottage. Esau swore unto Jacob, gave his birthright, and then it tells us that he went on his way. Think with me for a moment. How far did Esau go until he came to the realization of the foolishness of what he'd done? You know, that hunger was soon back to torment him again. He realized that food that he had taken, the food that he had enjoyed, the feeling that he had was already fleeting. And he was coming back to the realization that I'm a hungry boy again, I believe. I don't believe that was long at all. And when that started happening, I believe his mind also went, and we're not going to this morning, but you follow through that, you know that he was soon trying to somehow manipulate things again and get that birthright back. That's where he went. He came to that realization again. But you know what? Hungering and thirsting are appetites that return. Now, I'd like to expand on that thought this morning. As we think about our physical bodies and we think about appetites return. And you know what? Appetite builds upon appetite. Right? You see that in our society. The more people eat, the more they want to eat. And yes, we know what that does to us. After a while, we get a little bigger, and it takes more and more and more to keep our bodies happy, keep our bodies from having that fainting feeling, having that desire coming back. It just takes more. Appetite builds upon appetite. Thought about that recently. Our family had went out for a meal together, and as we sat in the restaurant, I just observing the portions of food that were served and the way people ate, and they went back for more. And you know, Americans, I believe, are eating more and more all the time, and appetite is building upon appetite. Well, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. This morning, I believe people with appetites are people who are not really satisfied. May I say that this morning? They're never really satisfied. Yes, they are satisfied that Christ dwells in their hearts and that he is all sufficient. But they are never satisfied, may I say, with what they receive of God's grace. And I'm thinking in spiritual terms now. We are saved by the grace of God, and we acknowledge that, and we know that it's more than that. We go back to our Sunday school lesson. It's by faith and our works, and all that is a part of that. But really, it is the grace of God. We read that. Ephesians chapter 2, and has raised us. No, that's not the verse I want. For by grace are we saved. He says there. Yes, in verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. It's the grace of Christ in our life that saves us, and we're satisfied with that grace. And yet, beyond that, the individual that has his appetite returning is an individual that is always pushing forward for more, I believe. You want more of God. You want more of his word. You want more of his spirit. I believe that as people push forward, they are seeking to know God better. They are always creating, may I say, the conditions in their life. This morning we talked about making choices. We choose what we're going to do. We make choices in life. I believe people that are hunkering and thirsting are making choices that are creating conditions around them whereby they can experience more of the fillings of the Holy Spirit. You know, God likes to see a people like that, a people that are just wanting more, a people that have an appetite for spiritual things that is building upon appetite, and we never quite get that appetite totally satisfied. Think about this for a little bit. I believe that every spiritual blessing we have prepares us for a greater spiritual blessing. Thinking about appetite, building on appetite now. Every filling of the Holy Spirit creates a capacity for an additional filling of the Holy Spirit. It just works that way. God's word works that way in our lives. Every experience in the presence of God leads us to a richer experience in the presence of God, I believe. You know, sometimes we go through difficulties in life and we wonder how we made it through, but as we come through, we see God working in our life, and it gives us the confidence that God wants to work in our life and is working in our life and is going to work in our life, and so we're not as fearful of the future anymore. In fact, we almost, I believe, people like that enjoy, not that we enjoy the experience, and yet we look for another experience with God and another experience with God as we go through life. And I believe as long as we take that approach, as long as we live our life in this way, we can go from, may I say, blessing to blessing. It's a part of this appetite building upon appetite. We go from filling to filling. We go from experience to experience. And we experience the presence of God with us. You know, that's how God has designed life. That's what God wants. I believe as we grow, we talked about growing this morning. I heard that come through in the Sunday school discussion, that the tree that doesn't grow, we start wondering about. We need to grow. And I suppose this morning that, going back to our brother's thought of pruning, I like that. You know, God prunes us. He sets us back sometimes, but it's because he wants us to grow more is what he does. Sometimes he brings experiences in life that just, it sets us back. And we need to stop, and we need to ponder, and we need to get, yes, our attitude and our mind right about the things of life again so that we can go on. But it's all a part of appetite building upon appetite, I believe. And God has designed it in that way, brethren and sisters, because finally God's whole desire for us is to bring us right into his presence, have us right there with him, where he can just fills and fills and fills, and we will be full and we will be satisfied finally. That takes me to the third point. The third thing I'd like to say this morning is that those who hunger and thirst are those who labor for supplies. And I'd just like to take you to a few verses. Let's go back to Proverbs. Proverbs has a number of things to say about this thought. Proverbs 27 and verse 27, first of all. I'm sorry, it's chapter 27 and verse 7 is the verse that I want. Proverbs 27:7 says, the fool's soul loatheth an honeycomb, but the hungry soul But to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet. The word loatheth has the idea of not appreciating, simply treading under, as it were, the things that come in our way that are good. And that's exactly what Esau did with his birthright. God had a plan. God had something there for Esau to experience. But you know, Esau, he didn't view that in that way, because of what there was something more that was getting his attention at that time. And so he really didn't, the honeycomb that was there, that was rightfully his, he despised that because of something else. But you know what? The individual, this verse is saying, the person who is really appreciating the things of God and who is drinking at the living waters, like our brother said in the devotions, you know, even the bitter things of life become sweet. It's a thankful heart. It's a thankful attitude. And so this morning, those who make the best of life, we might say, they labor for supplies. They labor in the things that come their way, and they accept the things that come their way, and they make the best of it, we might say. They are the ones who are finally going to be satisfied, who will be filled, who will experience, yes, the filling that they're looking for. Let's go back to Proverbs chapter 2. Proverbs 2 and verse 3. I'd like to read a number of verses here. So that thou incline thy ear unto wisdom, and apply thine heart to understanding. Yea, if thou criest after knowledge, and lifteth up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver, and searchest for her as hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord, and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord giveth wisdom, out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. He layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He is a buckler to them that walk uprightly. He keepeth the path of judgment, and preserveth the way of his saints. Then shalt thou understand righteousness, judgment, and equity, yea, every good path. You see, the proverb writer is simply saying that we need to reach out, we need to search, we need to have the hungering and the thirsting, and the promise is that God is going to fill us. There's a number of things that he says that we're going to have when that happens. We're going to, first of all, have a proper fear of God. We're going to understand God. We're going to have a knowledge of God. And he is going to be there to protect those that are hunkering and thirsting after righteousness, I believe is what it's saying. He keeps their path. He preserveth that individual. And he will help us understand his ways, the walk of righteousness, yea, every good path. Those are just some very encouraging verses to me as I think about that. And then we go to chapter 3 and verse 13. Tells us here that happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and a man that getteth understanding, for the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. He's talking about wisdom now, but I'd like to have look at verse 18 yet. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. You see, that's the food that God has for us this morning. When we search and we labor, we hunger and we thirst for righteousness, right ways, God is going to impart his will, his knowledge, his ways, his wisdom to us. And dear ones, this morning, there is no end to his wisdom. There is no end to his ways. There is no end to his understanding. And if we bathe ourselves, if we really hunger and thirst after the things of God, dear ones, there is nothing in life that you and I are not going to be able to handle with the strength and the help of God. Now that, you know, we fall so short of that. But really, where's the problem? God's not short-handed. God's wisdom and knowledge and understanding of our experience is all there. I personally need to admit that when I start becoming faint in life, and life looks like it's an overkill to me, it's because I'm probably not feeding, not laboring, not finding the supply that God wants to give to me. It's because I lack a hunger and a thirst after the things of God. Because God has a supply, has a storehouse so vast, so great, and he just has a desire to fill us with that. When I think of storehouses, my mind goes to our community. Those of you that are familiar with our area back in Pennsylvania know that we have many warehouses, big industrial buildings that are being built where lots of things are stored. People are ready. Supplies are within reach. Those places are just full. There's a whole tracking system, I believe, a whole network of things behind those. People know what's there. People know it's there. It's ready to ship. It's there at any moment when it's needed and so on. And you know, men have really put something in place there with all that. The supply of what's needed is there to make life happen. But I have to think sometimes how God must just smile. He looks down at that whole infrastructure that's there and the whole thing that man has put in place, and he just shakes his head and he laughs. You know, you really think you have put something in place where God has a whole much bigger storehouse full of, yes, the things that we need if we just hunger and thirst after it. Well, let's move on. The fourth thing I'd like to think about this morning for a little bit is some reasons why we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. Why should we have a desire to hunger and thirst after righteousness? Go with me to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and verse 10. Paul tells us, well, I'm just going to back up. Verse 9, he says, "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God." It's a number of things that I see in these two verses that I'd like to think about this morning that I believe that are reasons why we should hunger and thirst after righteousness. First of all, he says that we are to approve things that are excellent. Approve things that are excellent. This morning, we enjoy things that are good and right and well and without defect, do we not? We enjoy that in church life, in relationships. We enjoy that in family relationships. We enjoy things that are excellent. And I believe this morning that we need to hunger and thirst after the things of God in order for us to have the excellence in life's experience, may I say. That is where we will find excellence in the things of life. Yes, this world has a lot of wisdom, has a lot of things put together, and yet it has its flaws and it has its defects, and it only can be taken so far many times until we find that it's not sufficient enough anymore. But that's not God this morning. When we hunger and we thirst after the things of God, God can fill us and refill us and make us full and fill us again. And we find excellence in that. I believe it's the only place that we find excellence. Second thing I see is that we may be sincere. Sincerity, to be sincere. Truth, sincerity, that of honesty. And we'll look at some of that a little bit later. Also, I see in these several verses, to be filled with the fruit of righteousness. And I'm going to expound on righteousness this morning a little bit later as well. But I believe that those are reasons why we need to hunger and thirst after righteousness, so that we can experience these things, that we can be filled with the fruit of righteousness. I recently read an article that gave this thought, and I'd like for you to just ponder it this morning. The writer of the article was going on and talking about the need of studying God's Word and letting ourselves get into the Word of God and how important that is. And he made this comment. It went something like this. He said, "The members of a church who do not personally study the Word on a regular basis are either traditional or liberal or soon will be." Now think through that with me a little bit. What he's simply saying is that it rightly judges that we will revert to our former interests. And I believe that is true. We will go back to our former state of our interests and so on. They are, those things are really a product of our own imagination, our own thinking. In other words, the person who comes from a traditional background, let's say, a person who hangs on to traditions, and not all traditions are wrong, don't misunderstand me this morning, but there are traditions that have been handed down from generation to generation that people will hang on to and people will cling to, and they aren't always right. We need to take those things, we need to study the Word of God, we need to approve those things by God's Word. We make our decisions on life, we find our approval in life on the things of God's Word. And if we don't study the Word of God, we will revert back to those traditional things, and that will become a way of life. Tradition is what we will base our life on and just move on and keeping those things. Some of that's good and fine. Some of it is not. The other thing this individual is saying is that if we don't study the Word of God to keep ourselves intact with God's will, with the principles of God's Word, we get carried away by the doctrines of men, by our society that we live in, by the drift of the human nature. And it's as close as being right in our churches, brethren and sisters. It will be there. If we do not study God's Word, if we do not base our life, if we do not base church life on the principles of God's Word, if we do not turn back to God's Word again and again and again and keep that as our basis, and we see that all around us. We see that in many, many settings. And so this morning, it's important to keep studying, to thirst, hunger and thirst after the Word of God. Keep doing that. Takes me to the fifth point, and that is the importance of what we are hunkering and thirsting after. He says, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after" what? Righteousness. Well, what is righteousness? Let's define righteousness. Let's think about righteousness a little bit this morning. Jesus said that we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness. I believe this morning that righteousness, like every other trait of Christian character, must be maintained in its purity. And what I mean by that is that it is important. The choices we make in life are important. They will give us an expected end somewhere as we make choices in life. As we maintain our character in its purity and we maintain the character of a righteous life and we long after righteousness, it simply means that we live an upright life. We live a life that is honest in our dealings with others around us. In fact, I believe it means that the righteousness of Jesus Christ, the truth of Jesus Christ, will shine through our lives, through our hearts, will be experienced in the life of others by relating to us, by the way we have dealt with them, by the way we live our life. One of the biggest things is when we are tempted to compromise, which is something that we all face. We find the temptation to compromise, maybe for the sake of gain, for the sake of wealth, for the sake of ease. May I say, we live in a society today where the easy lifestyle is very much promoted. And Yes, we enjoy things today that former generations haven't enjoyed, but we need to be careful that those things don't, that we maintain that impurity, and that we don't get carried away with wealth and ease and popularity would be another one. We need to remember that Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto us." I believe sometimes that we start looking at the all things around us and we get so taken up in them that we forget to seek, hunger and thirst after the things that God really wants us to seek after. I believe that a straightforward course in business, in social, in home life, in religious life will keep us within the, or keep us with, should I say, the gospel standard of righteousness. And that's what God wants. Keep thyself pure in righteousness. It's a character that we need to keep in its, maintain in its purity and hold in its purity. You know, dear friends, our world is observing our lives. I remember a number of years ago when a neighbor of mine talked about an individual in our community who I think we all really appreciate for the upright character and the life that that man lived in the community and the choices that he made. And he just said, I just appreciate that man's life. I like to deal with him. That was a testimony. There was the character of Jesus coming through that man's life, and it expressed itself in the everyday walk of life. And that's what our life needs to do. It's an indication that we are hungering and thirsting and that we're being fed on the righteousness of God. The Apostle Paul put it like this in 2 Corinthians 5. He said, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. The old things have passed away. All things become new. Our walk, our life becomes a new life, a new walk." Another thing that I think about as I think about this thought of hungering and thirsting after righteousness, a good appetite brings noticeable change. That's so true in the physical sense. When someone has a good appetite, if someone's sick for a while and they don't have a good appetite, we see the effects of that on the body and we start getting concerned. If it's our children, we start getting concerned about that. But you know, but a good appetite brings noticeable change. And again, the right things, a balanced appetite, we could go to some of that. But I'd like for you to turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. I'd like to make a few parallels to this. The thought of a good appetite bringing noticeable change. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 13. Verse 12 says that we have the various gifts among us, and we have this for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. Verse 13 says, "Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure and stature of the fullness of Christ." There's three things here that I see that he talks about that I believe an appetite, a spiritual appetite, hungering and thirsting after God will do for us. In the body of believers, I believe that when everyone is drinking at the fountain and is experiencing the fulfillment that comes through longing after the things of God, there is going to be unity within the body. We will be unified. The body of the Lord Jesus is not a divided, he does not have two personalities. He is not two different people. He is, well, he talks about that here. He says there's one body, there's one spirit, there's one Lord, there's one faith, there's one baptism, the oneness of the body. And if every member of the body is truly drinking at the fountain, if we're hungering and thirsting and we're being fed, it's going to bring us together, brethren and sisters. There's going to be unity. There's going to be, yes, so there will always be a difference of opinions. Where there's people, there's backgrounds, there's many, many things that enter into that. But you know what? Finally, when we hunger and we thirst and we're satisfied, we find ourselves finding peace and rest in the fact that, you know, God is in control. God is building the church. God is building our life. God is building, he's working in our families. He's working in our businesses. And you branch out on that and you just find peace and rest in that. And there's finally going to be a working together, whether it's in our home, whether it's in the church, whether it's in, like I mentioned, the business, where God is working, truly working in hearts. There's that unity taking place. A good appetite also makes a perfect man. You know, when we eat in the physical things, finally, it brings health. It brings the things about that we expect it to bring about. Well, I believe that happens in the spiritual realms as well. He says, unto a perfect man. The fullness of Christ is the other thing that's in focus here. You see, God is concerned about our spiritual life. He's concerned about our spiritual walk with him, and God is working to bring us into the fullness of things and make us, yes, a perfect people. And so a good appetite brings about these noticeable changes. And I want to encourage us all this morning that as we eat and we drink and we hunger and we thirst after the things of God, I believe there's going to be growth. There's going to be a togetherness. I believe the body will have some noticeable change at times. And that takes me to the last point this morning. I believe that a fed appetite brings satisfaction. The promise that Jesus gave in our text verse, "Blessed are they which hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." Not might be filled, can be filled. Jesus is saying, you're going to be filled. There's going to be that satisfaction. There's going to be an everlasting satisfaction. No, it's not going to be like the experience of Esau, where he went out and he started laboring, and it wasn't long until, just like we do in the physical sense, we get hungry again. But when we hunger and thirst after the things of God, there's that fountain of living water that our brother talked about that just flows, and there's no end to it, and it fills us, and it fills us, and we will be satisfied. This morning, my heart's desire for us as a church, for us as individuals, is that we can be filled with the good things of God, experience the filling, and be satisfied, and live a life of peace and joy because of the satisfaction that we find in the Lord Jesus. That's my prayer for you this morning and each one of us. Blessed are they which hunger and thirst. It begins with your and my choice of hungering and thirsting after the things of God. Let's kneel for prayer.